Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. We're back in the open. Hope you have had a very good week.
Hey, everybody. It's Teresa.
And today we're going to be talking about bipolar disorder. We're really excited to talk about this topic today because there's a lot of confusion around it. For a lot of people, it's hard to figure out what bipolar disorder is. And for many people, we kind of throw that language around all the time.
It's really funny because on the screening program, the bipolar screen is what is the only screen where more people screen negative that they don't have bipolar than they do have bipolar. And one of the things that we've always wondered is that because either the screen itself is not very sensitive, so it doesn't catch you if you think that you have bipolar disorder, or is it that so many people Google, am I bipolar, and then take a test and they don't have bipolar disorder, but they're going through a lot of stuff. And I think for young people, it's really confusing sometimes to try and understand the difference between what is bipolar and what is being moody, right? Which is why this particular article is also so popular on our webpage. So we're going to take this time today, I think, to unpack more about what all of that means.
Language. You're so bipolar. Yeah, it's just part of the way people talk now, which does not help when people are actually struggling with finding out what's actually happening to the person.
So when someone says, oh, you're so bipolar, what are they trying to tell you?
You're so excited a few minutes and all of a sudden you're just like a super downer. And people say, what's up? You're bipolar? It's like, no, I'm just living my life. But that's the way that we describe this now.
I think it's also fair to say, you know, we can't stop people from saying or using the words that they use. But if you are struggling with understanding if you have bipolar disorder, if people are bullying you and saying horrible things to you, like, oh, you're so bipolar, it's okay to ask the question, like, do I have bipolar disorder, or what's driving my moodiness? Either way, you know, if you are moody and attacking people, like, that's a hard space to be. It doesn't have to be bipolar disorder. It doesn't have to be moody. It just means that you're in a tough spot, and it means that you're feeling so bad in a way that it's affecting the way that you're maybe acting out at people and the way people are responding to you.
Ultimately, the struggle that happens for so many reasons, people may have weird reactions about feeling anything, because we've talked about that right before. If you don't allow yourself to really feel what you feel, and you're sad or you're hurt and your outward reaction is anger, then yeah, people could be like, yeah, you're so moody. And it's seen like a negative thing. And when people say, oh, you're so bipolar, it's not seen as a positive. It's really intended for you to see some sort of negative around it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think what has to happen is that people get to a point to understand, is it just me being moody? Is it me showing my emotions? Maybe I've never actually shown my emotions to people. So now people are like, dude, you never used to be sad before. But internally, I used to be sad all the time. Now I'm just showing you what I feel.
That's interesting. So it's like, when you start to spill so much that you're showing all of your emotions, then people realize it, versus that time where you're able to hold it in. And that's different, because that's kind of when all mental illnesses start to really show their face, is like when we can't hold it in anymore. And we just start, I call it spilling, like you're just spilling over your cup. You know, I can't even, my cup of life doesn't even contain the struggle. It's like my cup overfloweth, and not with good things like blessings, like we talk about in spirituality, but it's just like it's overflowing with my sadness and my anger and my irritation and my energy. Although energy and like elevated mood is very different in bipolar disorder than it is in any other mental health problem. And that's what makes bipolar disorder specifically unique. So can you have bipolar disorder and not feel happy? Elevated euphoria is what they describe it. Mania?
No, you can feel happiness, but not euphoria, which is totally different.
Yeah. Mania is special. That's the key, because people who are like, who say, oh, you're bipolar versus moody, generally when we're moody, we are not happy, you know, right? Like if somebody says to you, oh, you're moody, it's not when we're happy. That's not, it's when we're curmudgeon-y and when we're angry and when we're snappy, right? That's when people call us out on being moody.
I think so. But there is also this reaction that people may have where really, like for me, in my experience, when I am like, I'm functioning at a, let's say a 90% and I'm getting everything that I need done and I'm in a generally good mood, but all the stuff that I have going on makes me kind of irritable. And that's when people are like, oh, you were in such a good mood and now you're in a bad mood. That's, I think, what you're getting at, right? There's this change.
So let's talk about what is bipolar disorder first, because it's an easier answer than unpacking what isn't bipolar disorder. So at least for me, so just for transparency's sake, America and I don't have bipolar disorder. In my family, we also don't struggle with bipolar disorder. You and I have worked with people who have bipolar disorder, or we have friends or intimate people in our lives who struggle with bipolar. Is that right?
Yes.
So maybe in the future, we'll have somebody come on the show. I think it would be great to talk to somebody who struggles with bipolar disorder and really talk about what it feels like and solutions and things, because I think that would be really helpful. But we're going to not speak from personal experience here. We're going to speak from experiences with supporting other people and what we see.
Yes.
I think that's important to say. We can't speak for people. So it's going to be a little more like, let's give you information, because I can't speak about my own personal experiences. I think the most interesting thing about mania was when I first experienced like a friend or someone have a manic episode, it was like something that I realized, at least for me as a family member or friend, was like, that's what mania looks like. And once I saw mania, I was like, I could not ever unsee mania, because the person that I was with was experiencing such a high level of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked really, really fast. Like I could not get a word in edgewise. And this was a really big change from the person that I had known, you know? So like when we talk about like, is that normal or not normal? I remember being like, okay, wait, this is not you normally getting irritated up and down. I'm like, no. You're gearing up for a real change. You're about to have a manic episode. And I know this pattern now because we've been through it, or I've been able to see it enough that I'm like, okay, this is mania. You know, but I didn't know it the first time I saw it. I just thought something is happening and I don't know what it is.
I didn't know it either. I mean, I had the training to recognize it, but I hadn't experienced it. And it was, the interaction was just, you're kind of bombarded by the other person and they're having all these thoughts and they're telling you all their thoughts and they're not stopping and they're jumping from one thought to the other. And there's no cohesiveness between their thoughts. You know, they jump back and forth and have these fabulous ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, for many people, it may be about this, oh, you know, they're such in this great space where they're developing these great ideas. But over time, what ends up happening is once you start recognizing when somebody may be in a manic episode is that, you know, nothing's ever been done with their ideas.
Yeah. What we do hear from people who are experiencing mania is we know that that period of time in their life can be like feeling a manic episode feels good.
Yeah.
And that's what's so hard about it is that they live in a period of time where depression is so hard and so bad that when they feel good, I think it's hard to know if you're just coming out of depression or if you're about to have a manic episode. And that can make bipolar disorder so scary. But for most people who haven't been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, when I work with people who've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder for the first time, they look back at the things that they were doing and they're like, oh my gosh, like I get it now. But at that time in my life, I thought it was such a good idea to do what I was doing, to sell the things in my life, to buy things I didn't have to do. So we know that with mania comes this whole experience of doing things that you think is pleasurable right? Whether it's having a ton of sex or buying a bunch of stuff that you think you need to buy, going shopping. These are things that we would normally like, that would normally bring us pleasure. But when people are in a manic state, there are a couple of things. They do tons of stuff that makes them feel happy and feels pleasurable. And they also increase high amounts of, what do you call it? Like you're talking about it, like activities. Like I get into like high level of productivity,
yeah,
which is really hard. Cause if you're in high school, you're like, how do I tell the difference between being manic and just being a hard worker or just being on it? You know, how can someone tell the difference between being on it and being like, this is a manic episode?
It's hard to say because the struggle, I think, exists in the way in which people function. So when we always talk about your normal, right? Identifying and understanding what your normal looks like. Me being productive at the end of the day is me being able to do all the tasks that I need to do and actually getting them done. Mm. And being content with, okay, I've completed this essay, I've turned it in, it's done. But when somebody may be dealing with mania, they may submit the essay, but then be like, oh my God, I have to do it again. So then they write it again and then submit it again. So it's this bombardment that you don't even recognize is happening, but really the people around you may recognize that it goes against what your normal functioning is. Mm-hmm. It also gets to this place where, you know, the people that I've come into contact with, really, like you're saying, they don't recognize that it's an issue until they start sharing and you ask questions and they're like, oh, no, but I did that. And then they think about it for a minute and they can't even process the question that you really asked and an answer to help you understand, oh yeah, I've completed, like I've checked this box about this idea. So it's this like kind of, you talk about euphoria, right? Well, it's this grandiosity, right? Like nothing that I'm doing is wrong. I'm 150% right about everything and I rock, which is an amazing feeling. You know, imagine if you would have this feeling all the time, why would you not want to have it?
Yeah, I know it can be hard for us to decide or know when something is happening to us or around us because of our mental illness and whether I have the ability to see or catch myself going into a depressed state or a manic state and what other people are saying. And then there's the other aspect of mania and depression, especially mania, where a lot of people say after they've had a manic episode, they can look back, but maybe it's hard to see that in the moment. These are elements of bipolar disorder that I think are super important for us to talk to somebody who has bipolar disorder with. And that's something we can do in the future. I think to help clarify for someone the difference between bipolar disorder and being moody is, wouldn't you say that mania is a specific diagnostic thing? Like it happens to people who have bipolar disorder in such a way that we know that this happens for bipolar disorder and not moody. Like you have to have had mania and mania has to follow certain criteria, right?
Yes. That's talking about you actually speaking with a professional and being diagnosed with that.
To clarify for people, what is bipolar disorder? Going through a little bit about what the specific symptoms of mania are.
Euphoria.
Euphoria is a word that we use for feeling like extremely excited and happy and high, like high up in the sky. Nothing can take you down.
Yes, correct.
Euphoria. Totally different than being happy about your life. Like people who talk about euphoria of mania, this is why bipolar disorder feels good during mania.
Correct.
I think most of us experience moments of joy, but extended and sustained. And when we say it has to be the period of time is at least a week of euphoria.
You're also not sleeping?
1 week.
It is 1 week.
1 week. I have moments of happiness, but to be pretty high energy for a week is a pretty long time. So then on top of feeling euphoric, you have, what did you describe?
Lack of sleep. You don't need sleep. You feel like you don't need sleep.
This is the one for me where at least when I'm talking to people, a lot of people say this is the one thing I can catch.
Yeah. When your sleeping pattern starts to change. Yes.
So bad. Agreed. Yeah. Because before all the other stuff goes, that people are at least being able to notice that they can't sleep. and they're going with like days with maybe 1 hour of sleep.
Yeah.
And your body just can't do that.
Right.
That's why I think some people start to experience psychosis, which is like breaking from reality or like believing things that they shouldn't believe about their superpowers or seeing things that they don't see because they haven't slept.
The lack of sleep piece is really important because what I believe ends up happening with most of us, we have a certain pattern that we follow, whether it's even if you get only 4 hours of sleep on a regular basis. So if that's what I normally do and I bring that down to 30 minutes, mm-hmm. your brain cannot actively function at 100% with that little bit of sleep because your body's not being able to recover physically. So, you know, that is one piece. Psychosis is a whole nother issue, which we can talk about later. But, you know, that's kind of like the chicken and the egg, right? Which is coming first.
So how can you tell the difference between being very productive and having mania?
I would believe that it has to be based on two factors. If you're able to look at what's currently happening with kind of your normal functioning, mm-hmm. normal being defined by you.
Yeah.
And then the other is, are you able to actually slow your mind down to a place where you can effectively react to the thoughts that you're having?
Mm-hmm.
Because we do this self-talk, both positive and negative, throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, we focus on things that require our attention
mm-hmm.
until we get it done, until whatever's needed gets done.
Yeah.
So if you're in school, you may have homework or, you know, sports or whatever. If you're at work, you have tasks that you're supposed to be doing, getting done. But when you are in this other phase and it's possibly mania, you're unable to really accomplish the things that you're setting yourself for, or what you had intended to get done in a week, you've done in a day.
And then you've moved on to a new big project. Again, it might be really productive. It's interesting because some people have described for me that they'll be productive. They'll accomplish their tasks, so they feel really good. And then it's hard to tell about productivity versus mania. But they also talk about doing a lot of things that in that moment in time, they thought was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But were not good ideas. And their brain was telling them that those things were good ideas.
Yeah.
But it isn't until after they're out of the manic state, and I don't know if people who have mania can catch it before or during, to know that this actually is not a good idea. That would be an interesting question to ask somebody who had bipolar disorder, right? Like, did you know that it was not a good idea? Could you have stopped yourself? Because it's an illness, it's a brain thing. And this is where it's like very clear when it comes to certain mental illnesses, where that person can't snap out of it. Their brain is compelling them to do things that they do not want to and cannot stop. It's not a choice, you know? And so finding ways to prevent mania, if you're right in the middle of mania, is very difficult, at least from what I've talked to people about.
What I think is also relevant to kind of the conversation, though, is this idea that for somebody who is struggling and figuring out, am I just going through these motions and I am super productive and I'm getting all these things done, or is it bipolar disorder? I just think about these little bombs going off in your head, that one little bomb, another little bomb, and they're just like exploding all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're left with is just kind of chaos in your brain. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the difference may exist for people.
So yeah, I think we went through basically most of the major symptoms of mania and how it's very different from depression, how it's different from being moody.
Yeah, completely. It's different than just having emotions.
Yeah, not emotions, not just being irritated, not just being happy. It's got to stick around and it's got to cause problems in your life. The happiness causes problems in your life, right?
The euphoria.
Yeah, the euphoria and the goal-oriented activities, like doing all the stuff, because you end up doing stuff you don't want to do. You're not sleeping. And then at some point after not sleeping, you don't make sense.
Yeah.
And that's hard. So what do people do if you're like, okay, I think I have a problem and I need to go figure out if I have a bipolar disorder? You got to check in with people.
I think it's important to identify somebody that you can share that concern with. Remember, always thinking about who that person will be in your life.
Yeah.
But then really considering, I need to talk to a professional here.
Yeah.
Because this is not something that me talking to my best friend, which is all helpful. It's helpful to have that relationship. But the professional has the training to help us figure out what we can do to really figure out next steps.
Yeah. Beyond just taking a simple screening, you need a full evaluation because these experiences can come from a lot of different places and you'll want a mental health professional to walk you through your experiences and help you and your family understand what's happening. But for a lot of our listeners, they're very young. So it's like, how do I even tell my parents that I think I have bipolar disorder? I would say arm yourself with knowledge. Try and read as much as you can about bipolar disorder and bring materials so that your parents can feel at ease. Know that they're probably going to feel guilty and maybe they don't know what's happening and they don't know, but just stick with it. If you have a parent who you feel safe with and they're not getting it, stick with it. If you don't have a parent, then you do have to find some other adult, or we hope that that's not the case because that's hard. And that means, you know, is there some other adult in your life, or do you have to think about what this means for yourself and finding support to make sure that you're going to be okay?
You know, one of the campaigns that we did a while back was around this idea of a hashtag of what mental illness feels like, right? And we asked people who live with bipolar disorder and other mental illnesses to tell us what it felt like to live with anxiety, bipolar disorder, psychosis. And the reality is that the feelings that we have are valid. And I think that's the most important thing. If you feel like something is happening and you don't know the right words to use, finding information that helps you relay that. And even to say, even it's your parent, it's your husband, it's whoever, say, you see this fact sheet? This is how I feel. But the ultimate thing is don't put this off because it can get worse. If you are living with bipolar disorder, managing it is something that is totally doable, right? But you have to get a place of knowing what it is and recognizing it to be able to say, oh, okay, these are the things I have to put in place for me to be better and recover.
Yeah. So that you can build knowledge for yourself about the way it presents for you and how to recognize your shifts in your thoughts and your energy and how it's so personal. That's the beginning of all of it. Is that beginning of the journey of managing all mental illnesses, similar process, but it does start building education and insight is what we call it, knowing yourself and then talking to somebody so that you can get clarity on a diagnosis is super important. So getting help as early as possible.
Yeah. Next time we'll be chatting with somebody who lives with bipolar disorder, because what we've talked about today is our experience, which is limited in this aspect. So it's important to always think about the fact that the folks that we bring onto the show with us help us create a wider perspective of all of these issues, because each experience is very unique.
Yeah.
So look out for that.
Yeah, definitely. We'll bring some back in and unpack all the details so people can have more clarity. And thanks for joining us again in this episode of In the Open. And we'll check in next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, y'all.